Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, man.
Good morning. How do you do?
Hey, man.
Just want to talk about the boys in blue.
Hey, man.
Now that you've been here a year, what's your favorite kiss and cue?
Hey, man.
What's new in the clubhouse, the bullpen, and the lineup, too?
Hey, man.
How was the road trip? Bob and Dusty want to know.
Hey, man.
What do you think of Slugger and FM radio?
Hey, man.
Is it true you're a deadhead, too?
Hey, man.
Kid Baseball want to talk music with you.
Hey, man. Hey, man.
Hey, man.
It is that time on a Wednesday as we are now joined by your skipper of the Royals. Matt Cotrero joins the show here on Fesco and Dusty, your hometown roofing team, KC-based and female-owned Century Roofing. CenturyRoofingKC.com. Hey, Matt. How you doing today, buddy?
Good. We're definitely starting with the first pitch for Monday, right?
Yes, we definitely are. First, but we got to start with the new song. Did you like the new version?
Oh, yeah. I wasn't in from the beginning of it. I didn't hear the whole thing, but the part I heard there at the end was really good.
Okay, we can play it again. Are you ready?
No.
Yeah, thank you.
No.
I still like the voiceover from last week, but
yeah, the voiceover from last week is good. I heard from a lot of people who said you better never get rid of that one. I said, no, we're going to keep that. And then the old number fives are like, hey, we got a new one for you. And they sent it over. I'm like, I really like it. I thought they did a great job.
No, that was good. That was good.
So, let's start with the first pitch. I'll lead you into that because Dusty doesn't want to talk about himself. And then he can talk about me being an embarrassment to hot dogs everywhere. I thought Dusty was really good, man. Like, that was a good first pitch, wasn't it?
I agree. Yeah. Dad used the two hands to squeeze it. And I don't know if it was over the plate, but height wise, it was great. And I think he looked like he had a little nerves going before he got out there, but then he calmed it down and stepped up to the plate and delivered.
Yeah. I came up to you beforehand. I said, you said aim high. I had that in the back of my mind. And I thought it was funny. I was telling Bob this. I was like, you know, it's nice. You know, we both kind of like nice to finally meet you. Then my dad goes, and I'm his father. And I was like, okay, Dad, calm down. But it was good times. It was good times. It was, you know, I think it was over the plate, but, you know, at that point, I think I kind of blacked out. And then after I got it to my dad and he caught it, I pointed at you and said, I think we did the right job. And then here we are. And then after all that, Bob takes all of my good sort of juju and just gets absolutely walloped in the hot dog races relish.
I did not know you were in the hot dog race.
That's good. Yeah, because it was an awful performance by me, but I got back to our seats and my daughter goes, Dad, that was awesome. I'm proud of you. I'm like, okay.
Wait, that was Monday night or last night?
Monday night.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Well, I mean, that's not the kind of thing I'm locked into.
You're not locked into the hot dog race during a game? What the heck are you doing? It's not like Cody has done it three times now, our midday host, because like he really wants to win it and still can't. And so he's kind of got it mastered. Like I thought it was going to be like one of those, like where my legs weren't going to be able to move. And then I started to go and I'm like, oh damn, I should have really got out of the gate better, but they're already ahead of me. And you know, I don't want to face play it and make a not top 10. So I'll just hang out. But my kid was proud, man. You know what it's like to be a dad. You know, kids are proud of you, right? That doesn't happen a lot.
I wish I had known. You undersold that. You didn't even mention it when you said Dusty was going to throw out the first pitch.
Well, I didn't know till Friday afternoon. They didn't tell me. You know? They didn't give me that one. So
who'd you race?
I raced Cody, one of the guys from the Midday Show, and Nate Taylor, who covers the Chiefs for The Athletic. And so Nate was a track star in high school, and he ended up winning. And I'm standing around waving. I'm like, oh, they already took off, and I got to watch the tarp. So we'll get you out there and do the hot dog race one inning.
No, he needs.
Actually, you may be too tall for it.
Yeah, he's also in a pennant race. I think I'd rather I'd rather him finish first in a pennant race than a hot dog race. Before we get into that, Coach, I want to ask you this real quick. My last name is Likens, okay? So my whole life, it's been called Likens or some sort of. Have you ever heard your name this way?
Matt Quattraro.
Yeah, I've heard just about everything. I mean,
Matt Quattraro.
That's not bad, actually. I've talked over the years numerous times about different pronunciations. I mean, some of them have had a B in there somewhere. You know, there's usually leave an R out, all that kind of stuff. But I have a distant relative who has made it his life, especially since he retired, to compile all the mispronunciations and misspellings that you get on junk mail and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So there are thousands of them.
How long did it take your wife to figure out how to pronounce it and spell it?
Oh, no, she's
right away.
No, yeah, I mean, we've been dating since high school, so she's been figuring it out. She figured it out quickly.
All right, there you go. Because a lot of times people get married and they got these long last names, like my friend Coach Luke Schneblin, right? Mm. I don't even think he knows how to spell his last name, let alone the kids, right?
Well, we also went to school. My wife went to elementary and middle school with a guy, and his last name has more consonants in it than anything I've ever seen. And she, to this day, spells it letter for letter, and it's kind of her thing. She's an English major, teacher, all that, so she takes pride in that.
Awesome. All right, so I was watching the Angels version last night of the broadcast, and they brought something up that I thought was interesting. I like popping on the other broadcast every once in a while to see what they're saying about our team. And the one thing that they talked about, which I don't think we talk about enough in Kansas City, is the way that Vinny's playing good baseball, but it's like we almost forgot he missed basically all of last year and got a shoulder reconstructed in the offseason. How much more impressive to you does that make what he's doing now?
Yeah, exactly, because you can't take for granted how hard it is to bounce back from that. I mean, everybody said, oh, whatever surgery you come back from, right, they say 6 to 8 months or 1 year, whatever the case is, but that's just to get back on the field, to have the mental component of it be cleared up and understand, like, you're not going to just feel 100% the minute they get to that 6 to 8 months. You're dealing with stuff at all times. And that's probably still the case for Vinny. You know, I mean, he got back on the field, he put a ton of work in, but he's dealing with stuff on a day-to-day basis, as would anybody that's going, you know, coming through rehab. So it's extremely impressive. And, you know, he got off to a rough start and was able to right the ship and has been one of the, if not the most consistent run producers throughout the whole season.
Yeah, he's been fantastic. And it seems to me now when he gets to the plate, like, all right, automatic double, here we go. Vinny's driving him in. Like, he's just seeing the ball so well, you know?
Well, that's one of his you know, strengths for sure is how he sees the ball. You know, his swing decisions, his plate discipline, you know, there's a reason that he puts the ball in play as much as he does and doesn't strike out is because he has that ability, but he also works on it.
When you look at this team moving forward and maybe you start to gain more trust in guys as games start to get a little bit more down to the nitty gritty, you still might have a chance to have Alec Marsh be an impact. Hunter Harvey should be coming back. Irsig's been pretty good. Bubic has been pretty good this year. Do you start to kind of piece together? And again, I have no idea how to manage a baseball team, obviously, but do you start to kind of get into a rhythm of like, okay, these are my guys every time in this situation, this is his inning. And then you start to make a push towards that playoff that is here before we know it with the way things are going with your ball club right now.
Well, I mean, we make a push towards winning every day. I mean, right. That's our goal, right? I mean, we're not thinking, well, at this point in the season, we'll change and go to this. We're trying to win every night, you know, and that's why you have to create depth. That's why you guys have to understand, you know, you can't pitch one guy out of the bullpen seven straight days. It's just not possible. You know, you get in the playoffs, you know, they ramp it up. They might go 4 days in a row or if there's no off day, whatever, 3 days in a row. But, you know, you can't do that right now and expect a guy to last for 30 more games. You know, it's just not realistic. Mm-hmm. That's why you have to, you know, our starters have picked up a ton of innings this year. The bullpen, you know, we have to put them in the best situations for them to succeed. And when you have a chance to win, you know, you go for it. And if you don't, you have to figure out the best way to get through based on rest and who's, you know, what we have coming the next day and all those things. So we factor it all in, but we're putting our best foot forward for every single night, not just hoping that we get, you know, to a certain point and we can use the same guys over and over.
You're at a point in the season, I think, obviously with 30 some games to go, where you're making a postseason push. You've also had the struggles out in the bullpen, but you've also had like innings start to creep up for a lot of these starters. How do you balance pushing the starters a little bit further so you have to rely less on the bullpen versus not pushing them too far to tax them when it comes to the innings that they've pitched?
Well, that's not something that we just realized today. You know, like we've known that these guys right from the get-go, the starters have thrown the ball extremely well. They've been putting up big innings, and we've prepped for this, right? That we monitor a lot of stuff behind the scenes as far as body fatigue, arm fatigue, you know, body weight, all those kinds of things that could factor into seeing some dip in performance. And above all, we listen to them. You know, I mean, we've given guys the extra day anytime we can. This month, we've talked about the off days we've had. You know, we're coming up on a stretch starting Friday with 14 games in 13 days. So that'll be the last stretch of games throughout the regular season where guys will be on regular rest as far as the rotation. So, you know, we've given the guys, the starters that have been here all year have had the benefit of the doubt. They've earned that to get the extra inning, and, you know, so far so good. But, you know, every inning is not the same, right? So if you have high stress in an inning or you've thrown 25 pitches, three innings in a row, that's different than if you go out there and throw seven innings and every inning's a 12 to 15 pitch inning. So every day is different. The weather's different every time they go out. All those things factor in and, you know, we try to pay attention to all those things, and then we make the best informed decision we can when to go to the pen.
You get Lorenzen tonight versus Johnny Cueto. I mean, it's a return for him. When's the last time you've had to do a scouting report on a Johnny Cueto as a pitcher?
Yeah, good question. I think I can't remember the last time I saw him pitch live. You know, I've seen him on video, you know, he was with the Marlins and stuff, but I don't remember the last time I saw him pitch live.
How do you get ready for so long?
Well, it's the same process. I mean, we have all the information, we have the data, we have the video. So we'll piece that all together. The hitting guys have their process that they follow every night. You know, and the players will do their homework too and watch and see what it looks like and see how the movement patterns are, and we'll come up with our approach.
Yeah. You sound like my wife today with the allergies. She woke up this morning and she texted me because allergies are terrible today. So I don't know if
definitely think it's kicked in these last couple days.
Oh, yeah. It has.
It's brutal. Well, hey, when you get a win tonight and you win the series, you get ready for the Philadelphia Phillies. You get to play, you know, Sugar Magnolia in the locker room tonight. Let the boys get a little taste of what the real music sounds like, you know?
Okay. I don't think that's on their post-game playlist.
It
could be on mine riding home.
That's right. It should be. Well, hey, take care, Coach. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, guys. Thank you.
Take care. Matt Cotrero, the manager of your Kansas City Royals, and looking to get another one tonight against the Angels, win the series, take an off day on Thursday, and then go take 2 out of 3 against Philly. Sounds easy. It's probably not going to be, but it is what it is. Matt Cotrero brought to you by Century Roofing, your hometown roofing team, KC-based, family-owned. Century Roofing, CenturyRoofingKC.com. This is Fesco and Dusty, and you're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Matt Cotrero. Matt Cotrero.
Those are the two guests that joined the show today, Matt Cotrero and Frank Caliendo. A lot of vowels today in the shows. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on a Wednesday morning. Final preseason game tomorrow, thank goodness.
Oh, is that tomorrow?
Yes, Thursday. Bears, Chiefs.
Yeah, we're playing the future Hall of Famer. Come on.
Except he's not playing.
He's not playing. Nobody's going to play in that game.
We had a real fun conversation earlier when we opened the phone lines. Our boss challenged us to get one phone call on the show today. We got about, what, 15, 20?
Easy.
So we're good for the next month.
Yeah, we're good. Yeah, we're capped out. Yeah, absolutely,
So come at me, bro. No, but the conversation we had, which was your favorite Patrick Mahomes pass?
Mm-hmm.
Because I saw a tweet on X or an X on X. I don't know how that sounds, really weird.
A post on X, is that what we're doing right now?
Post on X. There were 6 throws they had as what's your favorite? The underhand, the full dive, which the picture is obviously of the one at the Super Bowl that never happened. The behind the back pass that just happened last week. The Batman goes left-handed. The flip pass and the no look. So I will tell you right now, my favorite is probably this one.
1:30 remaining in the second quarter. Chiefs lead the Ravens 14-10. Derek Dieter is in the backfield now with Spencer Ware. Now Dieter floats to the right side. Mahomes' buddy in the right flat. Mahomes will look left, go away from him. He fires it late down the field. Caught at the 45-yard line. Robinson again. But tackled in bounds this time. It's a gain of 16.
That was the no-look throw. That's when Patrick Mahomes threw it to DeMarcus Robinson. Nobody knew where he was looking, and DeMarcus Robinson just luckily enough caught it. That's my favorite of the 6 with the no-look, or the one that he did there to DeMarcus Robinson. And then my other one is probably the Tyreek Hill 4th-and-9 play, because that's when I knew that there was never a down too long. There was never a moment too big. Yeah. And as long as Mahomes could somehow improvise the ball in the air with the power that he had, anything could happen. So those would probably be my 2 favorite Mahomes throws.
You know, there's so many of which to choose, but I think for me, the one that kind of makes me believe that he arrived was this one in Denver.
This crowd crazy, making it tough on Patrick Mahomes. Broncos show blitz, a sellout blitz. Mahomes trying to keep it a drive. He's looking to the left side. He throws it left-handed to Tyreek Hill, and Hill makes the catch, and he's out of bounds at the 49-yard line of Denver. A first down, 3rd-and-5. Batman's left-handed. He throws it for 6 with his left hand.
That was the one that took the air out of a stadium. Mm-hmm. That was week 4 of his first full season starting. We got a win against the Denver Broncos in a place we'd never really won before, and it took an entire fan base in Denver and made them go, we're screwed for the next 15 years. And it made a Hall of Famer go, oh, my God. You know, Von Miller's still talking about that pass. That was remarkable. That was the moment I think you started to realize, for me anyway, that Patrick Mahomes can do anything that he's wanted to do, that he wants to do, and that was just the beginning. And it's been nothing but highlights ever since.
It's Mac, my favorite too, yeah.
I was going to say, Mac, you probably have like 15, but which one was it the toughest to narrow it down? That one?
Yeah, I think so. And honestly, yours that you mentioned, that not the no look, but that same game, and I think I'm trying to grab that audio, but that 4th-and-9 to Tyreek feels like the game's over. And as a Chiefs fan, even as young as I am, I know the heartbreak and the chokes, and it just felt like that is a game that we will never win as a team, as a franchise. And Mahomes just kind of put that all to bed, and he did it time and time and time again. But that flip pass, that's probably up there too. 2022 to Clyde.
Yeah.
Back of the end zone.
Yeah.
Spin move.
Chiefs came into this game 7th in red zone offense. They have offset eye at the 2. They fake the trap. Now Mahomes scrambling to his right. Holding it. Gets off the hit. Now lunging forward. And now fires it late. Caught at the back of the end zone. Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Mahomes with the touchdown pass. His second touchdown pass of this game, the 161st of his career. That is the most touchdown passes by any NFL quarterback in history in their first 67 games. A 2-yard touchdown pass, Mahomes, magic.
I love the fact that he had the first 67 games, not the first 70 or 60, yeah. 67 games. They got that kind of number for him. And then the one is Dusty mentioned that doesn't get a lot of run because they lost is this one.
They have to get to the 2 to get that first down. Shaq Barrett, 2-point stance, crouching outside the right tackle, Andrew Wiley. Now Mahomes calls inaudible. 2 deep safeties for the Buccaneers, standing with their heels on the goal line. 4-man rush. Mahomes being pressured, spinning back to his right. Mahomes trying to stay alive, throws it sidearm for the end zone. It's broken up and nearly intercepted by Devin White, and the Buccaneers hold on downs at the 11-yard line.
That'd have been the sickest pass of all time.
I mean, it still was,
it
you
still
know?
Is. Yeah.
Like, that could just be the cover of Madden the rest of time.
That guy was like parallel to the ground and such, and he threw a pass and it hit a man in the face.
He didn't catch it.
How do you like
Chiefs have the ball at their own 40, 24-17. Expect an all-out Ravens blitz here. 4th down and 9. Chiefs at their own 40, down 24-17. 1:29 to go in the game. Mahomes out of the shotgun. Where to his right? Mahomes holding into the pocket, scrambling to the right side. Still scrambling. Now he throws it late. He's throwing for Tyreek Hill. He's got the catch. He's at the 20, at the 25-yard line. Now inside the 15 and out of bounds, down at the Raven 12. Unreal. Mahomes scrambling to the right side and threw across his body on 4th down and 9 for 48 yards to the Raven 12-yard line.
I love how he says, scramble through the right, threw it across his body, complete to Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that I just that like randomly popped in my head, listening to all this audio about Patrick Mahomes and his greatest throws, is there even anybody else right now in the NFL that has at least 6 throws that you remember? Now, I know that we don't all live in
Williams clearly does.
Okay. But it's crazy to think that the standard that Mahomes has set is so far and away beyond stuff we've never seen. Like a no-look pass has been done. A 4th and 9 crossbody behind, you know, never been done. What has probably, but not as beautiful. No-look, you know, behind the back pass. The, you know, all these sort of things. And you think about the quarterbacks in the league, Rodgers has made probably 4 or 5 throws that I can remember that I was like, that's a throw. Mm-hmm. No one else can make, because he just used to hit windows. He didn't really do it in style. He threw one against Kansas City where he was falling away on his stomach and threw it in the corner of the end zone. It was a perfect dime. I remember that on I think it was like Sunday Night Football when Mahomes was hurt and we've yet to see Mahomes versus Rodgers. And
probably never going to happen.
AFC Championship game this year.
Well, that's the script, but yeah. I mean, I don't know if you heard Aaron Rodgers yesterday. Hardest time he's ever had to practice and all this. Like, you missed OTAs while you were licking frog.
Yeah, and it's just it's stuff like that that even if something as minute as what's your favorite throw, and yet you could sit here in this room, guys, and you could sit there for 30 minutes and be like, I don't know which one, because there's so many that happened at different times. Like even the throw to Sammy Watkins in the Tennessee Titans game to seal the game.
You can hear the crowd, Sammy.
Right, like that's a throw that we just don't even bring up. And it's, as Rex Heller would say, a very beautiful thing.
And I think for me, that pass against the Ravens was the first time that I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be morbid here for a minute. I'm going to start watching these games and pretending I'm a fan of the other team and what that would feel like. And if you're a Ravens fan, because I think you can channel that. That's, again, the some are sicker than others department. Like, you channel yourself as the opposing team and watch Patrick Mahomes just rip your heart out. Like, could you imagine what Ravens fans were feeling that day? They thought they had that game won. The end zones were gold. They were going to beat the Chiefs. And this Mahomes guy is just a fly. Oh, my God. What did he just do? F it. and then you're done. And then, I mean, like, just take that opposing side and feel that just dagger in the heart and what that would feel like if you're on the other sideline. Because we got a text in from somebody, one of our listeners, and says, from the 816, Bob, I'm a Bronco fan from Denver. I live in Kansas City, and my grandparents have had season tickets at Mile High since the 90s. I was at that game, and it's the moment I realized Mahomes was going to own us for years. It was so deflating.
Yep.
And here we are, what, I don't know, 5 years later now after that, the Broncos luckily got a win when Mahomes had the flu or whatever it was last year. And that's been the only win since. I mean, it's and so Denver understands that they are getting owned for a very long time by Patrick Mahomes. And I can't imagine what that feeling would be like, because as good as Elway was against the Chiefs, you didn't feel like it is like now where you have no chance, right? Like you went into those games against John Elway, all right, DT and Neil Smith are going to step up and make Elway pay, and then he'd win the football game or whatever.
Right.
This, you don't stand a chance. You just don't stand a chance against Patrick Mahomes.
I like you. I like sex. It's nice.
Pretty much how I feel every time you see one of those great throws. Maybe, maybe one of the reasons Patrick Mahomes was so good is that he was put in the best situation a rookie quarterback could be put in.
No there doubt. Used to be college programs. Now there are college teams. You're no longer learning a program. You're learning a playbook. And the program is ultimately, like in Michigan, for me, that was a pro-style program. 5 years, I got to learn how to drop back pass, to read defenses, to read coverages, to be coached. I had to learn from being seventh quarterback on the depth chart to moving up to third to ultimately being a starter. I had to learn all those things in college. That was development. Then I went to New England, and I was developed by Coach Belichick and the offensive staff there. I didn't start my first year. I think it's just a tragedy that we're forcing these rookies to play early. But the reality is the only reason why they are is because we dumbed the game down, which has allowed them to play. It used to be thought of at a higher level. We used to spend hours and hours in the offseason in training camp trying to be a little bit better than next year. But I think what happens is it discourages the coaches from going to deep levels because they realize the players don't have the opportunity to go to a deep level, so they're just going to teach them where they're at.
Tom Brady got to become back in my day guy fast, didn't he?
Yeah, but I mean, I'm kind of torn on this topic because I do think that you were right earlier when you said that the backup quarterbacks tend to thrive waiting a year because they're behind somebody of greatness.
Of greatness, right.
Right.
Yeah, but sometimes certain situations, Chicago, doesn't lend itself to allow you to have the backup sit. Plus, you're investing a lot of money in these young guys. You want to get them into play right away.
Yeah.
Like, for those who are trying to duplicate the Chiefs system, right, and what they did with Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes, stop. Just stop. Do yourself a favor and don't try to do it, because more often than not, it's not possible, right? Like,
right.
I don't know that Brett Favre was a great mentor for Aaron Rodgers. Aaron, clearly not a great mentor for Jordan Love, right? Just because you're a veteran guy doesn't mean you have to be that mentor. Patrick and the Chiefs, and we all got lucky because Alex Smith is an awesome dude and did what he did for Patrick Mahomes. Like, that's a rare situation. And so if other teams are out there trying to do that, I think they're barking up the wrong tree, except for the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, people are mocking the Falcons. Kirk Cousins is probably a guy who's going to be a pretty good mentor. He's a great dad. He shops at Kohl's and boom, here you go. And he's got Michael Penix Jr. to kind of, you know, kind of lead under his wing. And so that may be something similar to what we get here. But if you try to duplicate that situation that we had with Alex and Mahomes, you're kind of chasing your tail, I think.
Which is interesting because it seems like the Chiefs do that with a lot more positions than just quarterback.
Yeah, they do. You're
like, you think about when they had Charvarius Ward, they drafted L'Jarius Sneed. When they had L'Jarius Sneed, they drafted Trent McDuffie. You know, they got Wiley. They got Travis Kelce. They've tried, right? But Kelsey's just kind of proved that he's not going anywhere. And we'll talk about a new role for Travis Kelce here in a little bit later on in the show. But I think it is kind of fair to think that, you know, you leave this caption that, you know, sitting out a year, you know, is like therapy. Not everybody needs it, but everyone could benefit from it.
Yeah, that's my whole thing with sitting out. Absolutely. That's it.
It would be great. Like, in a perfect world, every organization would draft a quarterback a year early. The problem in the NFL is, just like baseball right now, people keep talking about expansion, right? And Denny Matthews said 20-some years ago, there's not enough starting pitchers that we have for the teams that we currently have in baseball. And he's right about that. There's not five great starters for every team out there. You expand, you're adding 10 more starters. I look at that way for football. How many really good quarterbacks are there? probably two handfuls, right? Five on one hand, five on the other.
Probably.
And I think you're probably stretching to come up with 10 extremely good quarterbacks. So you want to expand and add more teams, you're going to have to add more, you know, Colt McCoys of the world. And so I just think right now, like, there's a lot of teams out there that would love to be able to have a young quarterback succeed a veteran quarterback. The problem is there's just not a lot of good veteran quarterbacks out there. There's not a lot of good young quarterbacks out there right now. There's not enough to be able to do that on a consistent basis.
So, like, let's take last year, the Panthers, Bryce Young.
Yeah.
He could have sat under Andy Dalton. Would you consider that a guy?
I think so.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, I think so, but it all depends if Andy Dalton wants to be that guy, right?
Yeah, and I think also it's the OC. It's the head coach. It's
yeah, you've got to have a strong head coach, too.
Exactly.
And there aren't a lot of those out there either. You got maybe five strong head coaches in the National Football League. And so the most important two positions in the NFL are head coach and quarterback. And for the most part, maybe you have five legitimate head coaches and maybe 10 quarterbacks that you can count on in this league.
I would almost say that I would see your, you know, you have to have a great sort of veteran quarterback talent-wise and mentor. You also have to have a very humble quarterback.
Yeah.
Because I remember when the Pittsburgh Steelers drafted Mason Rudolph.
Oh, yeah.
And they were talking about how, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, like, before they drafted him, he was like, yeah, I don't know how many years I got left. I might be hanging it up. They draft Mason Rudolph. You're like, oh, cool. You said you're going to hang it up here soon. Maybe you can be a mentor. He goes, I didn't say I was done yet.
And he didn't want to be a mentor.
Exactly. He's like, no one taught me. I learned myself. Yeah. And, you know, I think the other thing that's also very intriguing.
And again, you're asking somebody to be a mentor and basically coach up a guy who's there to take his job.
Yeah. And I also don't. And that's why it takes a humble, nice, caring teammate like an Alex Smith. Like, that's why when you look at Patrick Mahomes and you look at the situation that he has, there is not a better, fine-tuned, perfectly drawn-out situation when it comes to Brett Veach as your general manager, Andy Reid as your head coach, and Alex Smith was your professor. Because the one thing that I've always been an advocate of is why great quarterbacks never really make good coaches is because they were given a God-given talent that they just didn't know how to teach.
Well, it goes that way, I think, for all sports. Like, the greatest players are never... Like, look at George as the hitting coach.
Yeah.
Just go out there and hit.
Well, how'd you do it? Well, I just stood in the box.
Closed my eyes and swung. You know? Yeah, like,
whereas guys like Jim Harbaugh and, you know, Andy Reid and guys like that are able to teach it more because they knew what they had to do, what they had to read, how they had to react, more so than just like a guy like Patrick Mahomes. It's like, well, yeah, I just roll out to the right side and throw a hog down the right field, the right side of the field, and the guy catches it. It's like
Mahomes is probably not going to be a good coach. And
probably won't ever be a coach because of that.
Exactly. Yeah. And if you're a kid and you're modeling your game after Patrick Mahomes, don't, because you can't do what that guy can do. Like, Patrick is going to go out there and go, well, you throw it around. Like, you can't coach feel. You can't coach sense. You can't coach just natural ability. And that's what Patrick Mahomes has. Now, you can coach all that stuff up, but Andy Reid can't take somebody out there and go, okay, see the way he threw that behind the back? Like, you need to, that's all feel, man. That's all who you are as a person. And so many people want to say the next Mahomes. You're really taking a dump on Mahomes when you say all that kind of stuff, because you're asking people to go out there and do what Patrick Mahomes does. And Patrick Mahomes does so much based on instinct and feel and preparation. Like, a lot of that you just can't coach.
Which is why Mahomes might be a better GM than a head coach, because then he just kind of goes with what he knows works and how it develops.
If I'm Patrick Mahomes, when I'm done, I am getting away from football, because you're going to take a major pay cut by staying in the game and have to work harder.
If I'm Patrick Mahomes, I'm getting a place in Fiji and we're moving the family there, or they'll just go live in Texas, his hometown. I am Dusty Likens. That is Bob Fesco, also executive producer Mac Morey. Coming up on the other side here on Fesco and Dusty, which is brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster's patented MyQ technology is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. Travis Kelce, well, we know he's Hollywood, but how far Hollywood has he gone now? We'll discuss next on his new role. This is Fesco and Dusty. This is 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Missouri athletics. 96.5 The Fan.
Back here on 96.5 The Fan, Dusty Likens, Bob Fesco, Mac Morey. Final segment on a Wednesday. I hope you guys are ready to dissect a third preseason game tomorrow. Chiefs-Bears.
I totally forgot they were doing that.
Mahomes versus Mahomes part two, according to the NFL. But neither one of those guys is playing.
Did they really use that? They said Mahomes versus Mahomes part two. But I could absolutely see NFL Network doing something like that to try to hype up some exhibition game.
For sure. Nah, they'll play in a couple
years. Is this Patrick Mahomes versus the new Patrick Mahomes? Are we going? And neither guy's playing.
Yeah, neither of them's going to touch the field. Ugh.
Somebody says from the 816, then you get a guy like Vrabel. The exception to the great player becomes a good coach, but that's based on work ethic and drive more so than physical prowess.
Vrabel was a really good player. I wouldn't put him into that great category, but I knew he was going to be a coach when he was here with the Chiefs. They did a day where the players became the coaches of the team, and Vrabel was the head coach that day. And the way that he dressed, the way that he looked, the way that he acted, the way that he talked, the way that he operated. Mm-hmm. I remember Kling and I were like, that guy's going to be a coach someday. And sure enough, he became a really good head football coach. Like, I would hire Mike Vrabel right now. I think he's a really good coach. Year off is going to probably do him some good, raise his stock a little bit. And then, you know, he'll probably have a coaching job next year.
Yeah, I think so. Or he'll be a right-hand man to Bill Belichick in Dallas.
I don't know. He never coached for Belichick, though. I don't know what that... Remember, Belichick traded him here.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I don't know if that's something that he wants to do and go back to Bill Belichick because Bill Belichick traded him. I don't know what their relationship is like. But if I'm Mike Vrabel, I've been a head coach. It would be really difficult and really tough to go back to being an assistant coach if... You didn't have to. And there's not enough good head coaches in the NFL that I look around and say, Mike Vrabel shouldn't be a head coach in this league. Like, you can't not hire Mike Vrabel. I think he's a stud.
You know, somebody did just get hired for a movie role. You're tight end of the Kansas City Chiefs.
And
there's going to be some cameos in there.
There'll be a lot of that. Yeah.
I heard, do you know Travis Kelce wants to be part of this?
Yes.
He talked about it.
Travis has been, he mentioned it, and so we have a nice something for Travis. He's going to come by, and he's cool. Very nice guy. You guys would love him in real life. What a big, handsome guy. And
He's
a stud, and he's so funny. And
I don't know if there's anybody more relatable than Adam Sandler to the world of you and I type of guys or Mac type of guys where you just basically what you're doing is you're – being a bro your whole life. Like Adam Sandler, you wouldn't know is a gazillionaire. You wouldn't know that he's a Hollywood great or a comedic icon. But when you see stuff like this and he says stuff like, yeah, Travis is going to be here, God, he's so funny. He's such a handsome dude. He's just a good bro.
How many times do you think Travis called him and said, can I be in your new movie? And it probably got to the point where we'll cast you, man.
We'll get you in there,
it's
bud.
Cool. It's cool. Just chill. We got you.
And he's going to have about 10 seconds longer than what Alex Gold had in the Hallmark Christmas movie.
I'm going to ask a legit question, and I want you guys to really ponder it for a minute.
Mm.
When it's all said and done, will Travis Kelce be remembered more for football or for being in movies and acting and being a pop culture star?
I'll double down. What was OJ?
Pop culture star.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's what you do lately, not what you do longevity.
Right. But everybody knows he was a Heisman Trophy winner, alleged murderer, all that kind of stuff.
Terrible person.
Awful human.
But if you take that out.
But you know, but he was a pop culture icon. Like people don't realize up until that day there was no bigger icon in pop culture in America than what we were looking at with O.J. Simpson.
And I think again, taking the murder out of it.
Yeah.
I think there will be a time when, you know, maybe 10 years from now, if I have children and they're watching a movie or they're watching a show and they're like, oh, this Travis Kelce is hilarious. I'm like, you should have seen how hilarious he made defenses look back in the day.
Well, that's what everybody said who saw OJ.
Yeah. My dad was like, he was the first 2,000-yard runner or whatever it was.
Yep.
You should have seen him at USC in Buffalo. The guy was just an absolute stud. And all I'd ever known OJ was Norberg
from Naked Gun.
From Naked Gun. And I'm like, this guy was a badass football player. My dad was like, yeah, you should have seen him run.
Right.
And I'm like, well, the only time I saw him run
was in a Bronco with Al Cowlings driving, who was his backup running back and his best friend for all those years. Yeah. But I think once football is done, whether it's after this year, after 2 years, whatever the case may be with Travis, I think he is going to take over the world and become one of these pop culture icons,
right,
where you're going to have to tell people, yeah, remember he played football? And they're going to be like, oh, yeah, that's right. I totally forgot that Travis Kelce played football. Yeah, he's in the Hall of Fame and was the greatest tight end of all time. Like, just like, you know, O.J. Simpson was the greatest running back of all time, Hall of Famer, had the Heisman Trophy, all those accolades. But everybody remembers him from Naked Gun. And I think Travis is going to fall into that category. And I think he's just going to be huge. And with the Taylor Swift relationship, it's going to be even bigger. Like, he's going to be one of America's biggest superstars.
I think that's a good conversation you could have, is like, what's a former athlete that's known for their post-career than their current career, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you look at guys like the text I mentioned from the 206, like The Rock. Nobody knows him as a pro wrestler anymore. They know him as a Hollywood actor.
And Michael Strahan.
Michael Strahan's another great example of that. Yeah, Ryan Seacrest. People forget he was a good lefty for the Royals back in the early 2000s. Yeah. They used to call him in out of the bullpen. He was fantastic.
Yeah.
But now he's a pop culture icon. The Rock one is interesting, too, because also people don't remember he played football. You know, like, he played football at the University of Miami. Mm-hmm. I believe in a preseason situation, maybe with Detroit. Then he became the wrestler, and now he's become kind of a pop culture icon. From the 620, I hope this is sarcasm. I think the whole trial circus affected OJ's legacy big time.
Obviously.
The trial affected that?
No. I think it was the glove, the knife, and the two people that were absolutely just left for dead. I think that's what happened with O.J. Simpson.
I don't think it had anything to do with the trial.
What's ironic about how nobody knows that The Rock was a wrestler is that his name's not The Rock. He got The Rock from the wrestling organization. Right. His name is Dwayne Johnson. Which is funny.
What about Gronk? That transition was quick. Gronk, he's great in commercials. I don't see him in movies, though.
Is he
though.
That good in commercials?
I don't know. I kind of like that shoe commercial.
I think he leans into that role of like, but how long does the dumb jock role work for him?
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, like Peyton Manning is headed that way. Great text.
Oh, yeah. Great one.
From the 815. Yeah.
Like the Omaha Productions, mm-hmm. the things like, oh, is this guy just like, who is this guy with the large forehead? Like one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time.
Yeah, and his brother has Super Bowls.
Yeah.
And beat Tom Brady twice in the Super Bowl.
Some people don't realize Terry Bradshaw was a quarterback. Remember he used to do commercials?
Yeah.
Yeah, Michael Strahan's a good one, Mac. Nice pull.
Yeah, Strahan is really good. He is a pop culture superstar right now.
Huge. Yeah. He's on daily television shows, then he's like, then randomly he's on Fox NFL Sunday.
Right.
And you're like, oh, there's Michael.
Oh, there's that guy.
Yeah. Oh, Michael Strahan's there.
I don't think he's a pop icon, but I will be honest with you. When I was a kid, one of my favorite action movies was Broken Arrow. With Christian Slater and John Travolta, Howie Long was in that movie.
Oh.
And I didn't know that Howie Long was like this ferocious DN for the Raiders until my dad showed me like a couple of highlights.
Because he is very mild-mannered, you know?
And he's like a very clean-cut, you know, kind of square jaw. And then like all of a sudden, like my dad's like, oh, he was an animal for the Raiders on the defensive line. I'm like, oh, okay. And then I like to be that person that would be like, oh, did you know that Howie Long played? These are his sons. Mm-hmm. Chris Long and whoever the other ones.
573, Bill Cower.
No, I always remember as a coach.
He's not a pop culture icon at all.
Yeah,
no.
he's like Tony Dungy. Different personalities.
Oh, completely different, yeah.
Different personalities, but they're just
analysts. I like Bill Cower.
No, but I'm saying like they're analysts on pregame shows.
Yeah.
Terry Crews is getting a lot of love on the text line.
Yeah.
His scene from White Girls where he sings the Vanessa Carlton song, 1,000 Miles, hilarious. He's also, I think, in the movie Click, where he does the same thing, speaking of Adam Sandler. But it is interesting to see that, you know, some of these guys can parlay their career in these things. And I thought this was a really good text from the text line. They said, when the lights get brighter, Travis Kelce's personality shines brighter. And
look at the playoffs this year. That tells you everything you need to know.
And then you look at him on the stage on Saturday Night Live. You look at all that sort of thing. John Cena is on his way. Correct. Yeah. That's why he's retiring from the WWE finally, he says. But again, is he really retiring? No, he'll come back and do a Royal Rumble or a WrestleMania run. But eventually, here in a couple of years, we will see John Cena just be known as like this funny, goofy actor.
Another good one, Nate Burleson coming in. He's a superstar. You see him in football, and he's on the CBS Morning Show as well. And then another good one from the 816, Jason Ketz is never remembered for his Staley wrestling career. That is true.
Yeah, Brett Favre wasn't Something About Mary, but he had one line. He couldn't deliver it. Yeah. What the hell's Brett Favre doing here? I'm in town to play the Dolphins, you dumbass. Mary? Marry me. Thanks for everybody that joined the show. Matt Carrero, Frank Caliendo, all of your calls from earlier on, we appreciate it. I can't wait to get out of here. Got to get a little sleep
before
the Zach.
How is the over-under?
I don't know.
5 seconds?
Yep. I don't know what that means. Thank you very much.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Alex.
Oh, yeah. Well, all right. Inside jokes don't do well on the air. I'm Dusty Likens, Mac Morey, Bob Fesco. Go do nice things for somebody. You never know. It could change their day, week, month, or year. It's simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay safe and stay kind. This is 96.5 The Fan, your home for sports radio.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.